Go ahead and take your Bibles this evening. Open up to Daniel. Daniel chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 5 this evening. We started on Daniel chapter number 5 last week, and we're going to finish it up this week. If you remember the story that we told, is we talked about Belshazzar. Now this is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and he is throwing a great big party for thousands of people there. And he goes and he does something that's very wicked. He brings the vessels of God out from the temple of God that Nebuchadnezzar has stole or taken over when he took Judah captive, and he drank wine in them and talks about how the party was going. And in spite of what was going on inside this big, huge banquet hall that we talked about last week, outside there is an army that is attacking and getting ready to attack this great city of Babylon. This is the Medes and Persians. And as these Medes and Persians are getting ready to besiege the city, we remember that Belshazzar, last week we talked about how he had such great faith and confidence in two things. First thing he had great faith and confidence was in this great walls that they had around Babylon. To be honest with you, some historians tell us that they had enough food and resources to live in that city of Babylon for 20 years and never come outside the city gates and walls. See, the river Euphrates actually flowed underneath the walls and underneath the city and provided all the resources they need. And they had the food stocked up and everything they had needed stocked up and ready so they could stay inside those walls. So Belshazzar could care less if the Medes and Persians are going and getting ready to attack his city. He doesn't think anybody could hurt him, anybody could stop these walls. He said, why? He said, these walls, some of them were over 300 feet tall. He talked about last week how wide they were, that four chariots could have races on the width of these walls. They were huge. But he also had great faith and confidence in his gods. And this faith and confidence had it in his gods got him in trouble. See, Daniel even comes back, and as the story goes along, there's a finger that comes out and writes some words up there on the wall where they're having this great party, and Belshazzar gets a little nervous, as he should, because there was no hand, there was no arm attached to the finger, no body attached. If you saw, like I said last week, you can imagine if a finger came out there and started writing on the wall and just started writing something in there. Well, Belshazzar was scared. He called in all the spiritually mediums, all these people that dealt with the occult, these astrologers and all these wise men and all these soothsayers. They couldn't interpret. The queen comes along the side and says, oh, don't worry. Now, the queen is probably his grandmother at this time and says, don't worry. There's a man that can interpret the dream. So they go and get Daniel. And Daniel goes and gives him a lecture and gives him a history lesson, tells him why this is going on, or what is happening, and even gives the interpretation of the dream. And tonight, that's what we're going to be looking up. And the title of tonight's message is, how would you measure up? How would you measure up here in Daniel chapter number 5? I'm going to start in verse number 24. It says, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And here Daniel's going to tell us what exactly these words mean. It says, and this is the writing that was written. It says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Peres, which is the, you see the word Upharsin in verse number 25. You see Peres found in verse number 28. It's talking about the singular form of the same word. It says, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. So here Daniel interprets and he says, look, God has been numbering your days. He has numbered your kingdom. He's weighed you in the balances. And he says, you're found wanting. And the kingdom is divided and has been given away. In verse number 29, then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. We talked about last week that Belshazzar was really the second in charge. The father, which had already left the kingdom, was the one that was really the king, and that's why he was the third in ruler. And in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now, what we're going to look at tonight is we're going to look at the idea a little bit about this meaning, and we're hopefully going to look at this interpretation and apply this to our own lives. We're going to look at some different areas, and we're going to, as they consider what it talks about in verse number 26, about how God had numbered their kingdom, and how our days are numbered. And in verse number 27, when it talks about how they are weighed in the balances and aren't found wanting. And we're going to actually look and see, is there some areas in our lives where we're found wanting at? When God and we weigh ourselves and we look at ourselves in the balances, is there something that in some area of our life that we are wanting in certain areas? And then here in verse 28, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. It talks about God's judgment has fallen. And as God's judgment has fallen, this is the idea of us contemplating our future judgment too. I even brought a little thing here to be our, it's up here, huh? to help us in our illustration tonight. Some of you guys will love what this is. Some of you guys will groan when you see this. It's a scale. And see, you guys see the scale. See, you know what? Your scale can be your best friend or it can be your worst enemy. I don't know about any of you if you've ever been on a diet before, but the scale can be something you enjoy seeing or it can be something that you don't enjoy seeing. Some of you know that I've been on a diet a little bit since the beginning of the year. A few of you has even been on a diet since the beginning of the year. And, you know, this scale, some of the times, I love it because it says the things I wanted to say. And you know what? Sometimes I hate it. I get off it. I get back on it again because it must have made a mistake. I even look at it, and you know, sometimes it gets off kilter a little bit. Sometimes you have to move it to the zero to get it to be exactly right. And you know, if it's up a little bit, that means it's showing more of a weight gain. But if it's back a little bit, that's showing you that you lost more than you should. That's when you want to leave it right there because you like what it's saying. But you know what? And when we go to the scales and balances of our lives, we got to understand there are certain things we should compare ourselves to. And what we should be comparing ourselves to, and these balances, these divine balances of things that are weighing it up, we need to understand that we need to compare ourselves according to God's Word. We don't compare ourselves to other people. We don't compare ourselves to other things. We look at the balance of God's Word. And that's what the whole interpretation is here. He comes to Belshazzar, and he says to Belshazzar in verse number 27, he says, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. God had put him in these divine balances and showed all the different information he had received, he had been through, and everything he had been given. And he says, because of your actions, you've been shown and you've wanting, and meaning that they're lacking, they're light-weighted, they're not a good balance, not a good scale, and they're not being the way the thing should be here. And I want you to understand here, scales do not lie. Sometimes they might need to be tweaked. Sometimes you may not like what it says, but scales really do not lie. And even to a greater truth, the Word of God does not lie. And when we consider tonight the things of the Word of God, I want us to understand and consider this. Let's look at ourselves according to the Word of God and compare ourselves and see if there's some areas in our lives that are wanting or that are waiting that we need to change on. And just be honest with ourselves, let's do something about it. And I know when it comes to our lives and it comes to scales and comes to balances, we don't always like it. But it tells us the truth. And what we need to be is honest with ourselves. And honest with ourselves according to what the Word of God says. So tonight, when we look at this, I want us to take these three verses and see how we would measure up if God was the one using the scales. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for this story. I thank you for this thought. Lord, how do you look at our lives? Lord, where are the areas that we're not measuring up to? Lord, what is the things that we need to change in? And God, I pray that you give us clear thought here and a clear understanding of maybe certain areas in our lives that we have been wanting in and that we've been needing to change in. And Lord, that we see and consider them. We look in the future of the contemplate the future judgment, and that we make the changes that we need to in order to please and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to think about is consider our life. Point number one is consider our life. You go down here in verse number 26, you know, when I read this, these first words, it says, this is the interpretation of dream, meaning God hath numbered thy kingdom and hath finished it. Remember what the story is telling here. Belshazzar is the world emperor here. He's in charge of everything. And Daniel says that he's written these words up there because he wants you to understand something. You've been worshiping, you've been praising the gods of gold, the gods of silver. You've been worshiping everything else. You've come and been blasphemous toward me. And he says, you've allowed yourselves to drink out of my vessels that have been set apart for me, my holy different instruments that was once in my temple. And he's saying, now I want you to understand that I've looked at you and I've numbered your kingdom. I've put an end to your kingdom. Your kingdom stops here. And last week we talked about how there was many things Belshazzar could have known. There was many things that Belshazzar could have known. We talked about when we looked in Isaiah at the end of Jeremiah and how it told us how it was 70 years Babylon was going to be there, and how it even said it was Nebuchadnezzar's grandson where the kingdom was going to be taken away. All those different things he could have known and he could have changed, but he chose not to. First thing I want you to understand is consider our own life. Meaning means that God has numbered the kingdom of Babylon and their number was up. And here I want you to understand the importance of this point is understand God is the one that knows the numbers of our days. God is the one that knows how long we are going to be here. We talked about Mr. Armstrong being 99 this coming Saturday. Not many of us are going to reach 99. The Bible tells us to be careful. The Bible says, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Say, Pastor, why in the world should I care at all about whether or not I'm on the balance of what God wants? Hey, I'm on my way to heaven. Hey, I'm doing what I need to do and blah, 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 all those different things. But you know what? We need to understand that we should number our days because our life is short. God is the only one. He is the only one that will be able to tell us, know who, when our number is going to be up. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Hey, you might think you got all your life. You may look around and say, hey, I'm 15 or I'm 20 or I'm 30, I'm 40, I'm 50, I'm 60, I'm 70, I'm 80, I'm 90. Doesn't matter. You don't know how long you have here. Our life is just a vapor and we need to say, hey, I need to make sure I'm right. I need to make sure that I am headed towards the right pathway. I'm doing what's right and I'm redeeming the time because I don't know how long my life's going to be. One of the reasons why many people go on a diet, one of the main reasons why I went on a diet, it's because I turned 40 this year. And at the age of 40, I did not want to be so overweight and so out of shape, knowing what my future years are going to be like, because I wanted to make sure God's given me one body and I want to make sure I can use it to the best of the ability for my Lord. And because of that, I wanted to lose weight to be able to help myself, to be able to give God the opportunity even to use me in a greater capacity. And that's what he's saying here. When you consider yourselves and you put yourselves on these scales, understand that you're considering your life and you understand that you have a purpose in this life. You got one chance to accomplish what God wants you to accomplish here. And we need to look at our lives. We need to examine our lives. And we need to say, hey, what would God say about my life in this area and that area? Stories told about a young man who had never flown. He needed to take a trip to California. He needed to get there quickly. And he didn't want to fly, and his friends told him, he says, look, buddy, when your number's up, it doesn't matter if you're in the air or on the ground, your number's up and it's gone. Well, this young man said, hey, I'm not worried about my number being up. I'm worried about the pilot's number being up, and I don't want to be on his plane if his number is going to be up. And that's the truth is, we never know when our number is going to be up, but we need to make sure that when we are using our lives, because you don't know how long you got, we need to not be wasting our lives. How do we waste our lives? Is by living off-kiltered from the scales that God's given us to live by. We need to understand, hey, I got one life, I got one chance, one shot, and I'm going to live for the Lord, and I don't want to spend my life being off-kiltered. God thinking I need to do something. God, I have areas in my life I need to work on and change and just forget about it. Second thing I want you to understand, not only is to consider our life, the second thing I want you to do is understand is compare our lives to God's Word. Compare our lives to God's Word. We must find a scale that measures properly. We must find a scale that measures properly. You know what? While I was thinking about this, there is probably a money market scheme that you can make. You can make a scale that always is 10 pounds lighter than what you really are. If you went out there and you market a scale that where you were 10 pounds lighter, I bet you they would fly off the shelf. People would buy them, and people would buy them in droves, so they'd make themselves feel good. But does it help them at all? No, it tells them a lie. And I tell you, when we compare ourselves to other things, when we compare ourselves to our companies and our friends and our in-laws or our relatives, when we compare ourselves to other people, guess what? We can fail. But when we compare ourselves to the Word of God, then our scale will be to something that is true and something that is weight. Now, sometimes when your scale gets a little off kilter or if you haven't used it for a little while, maybe you've put on some weight and you know you have and you kick it in the closet, you don't look at it anymore. You know, you bring it back out and sometimes you have to measure. They used to tell, my wife tells me all the time, just get a 5-pound bag of sugar, put it on there. If that says 5 pounds, that means it's good. I says, well, how do you know the 5-pound bag of sugar is right? And so I go to the store and use those scales. You know what? There are so many different things that you can do to try to manipulate yourselves and manipulate your weight. But when you look at the Word of God and you compare your life on the scales of one side being what the Word of God says and yourself on the other side, you're going to get the true honest picture of where you're lacking and where you're wanting. You look here in verse number 27, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. God took these divine balances and he found them wanting. He knew that there was a need there. Babylon had been put on the divine scales and had been found wanting. The people of Babylon didn't weigh enough. They were lightweight. And in those days, when they weighed things, they would put whatever the standard of weight was on one side of the scale, and on the other side was the commodity was. And it had to balance. This is our standard. This is what we need to compare ourselves to. This is what we need to make our balance to be correct with. God's standard is the Word of God. When you come up too light. If there's some area that you come up too light in, is there some area that you've been lacking in? So you've been weighed in God's balance, and you're found in light. You're found light is what he's telling Belshazzar. He says you're being found light in morality. You're being found light in spiritual virtue. You're too light in moral value. You don't have the balance with God's standard. You come up short. And it's what he's saying. He fell short. Now, I don't want any confusion here. I want everybody to understand that sometimes people have this idea. And I've been told this before. And you might probably know somebody there, or if you didn't, haven't talked to enough people about their... Some people believe that when they die, everybody goes to heaven. And up at heaven, there is this great big scale up there. And what God does, he weighs the good and he weighs the bad. And if the good outweighs the bad, you get to get into heaven. But if the bad outweighs the good, oh no, you're in trouble. See, that's not the Bible way at all. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm saying that according to this. Because the Bible teaches us that none of us come to the standard of God. None of us gets to go to heaven on our own. The Bible says... It talks about, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. None of us measure up to God's standard. So I don't want anybody to say, Pastor went and said, hey, how do we measure up? And if we live a good enough life, then we can get our way to heaven. No, you can't work your way to heaven. Remember, I'm saying that the one side of the balance and one side of the scale is this. And then this tells us that none of us reach that standard. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, guess what? You're found wanting in that area. There is no way in your own self and your own strength and your own abilities you will ever make it to heaven, because the Bible tells us clearly, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that we need to understand that we are all sinners and that we have fallen short of God. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And it's Romans 3:23. We've missed that standard. I think we would all agree with that. If we're here and we're saved tonight, where he says, you know what? I've fallen short of that standard. I do not measure up to that standard. Okay, so Pastor, what are you talking about then, Pastor? I'm talking about living a life that reaches the standard God wants you to have once you're saved. That's what I want you to compare yourself to. I want you to stack your life up according to the Word of God and do a check and do a test. Is there some area in my life that I'm found wanting? Is there some area in my life I need to increase in, that I need to get strengthened so I can match up to the scale God wants me? He said, Pastor, how in the world can I ever match up to the scale that God wants me to? Well, the Bible says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know what that tells me and teaches me? That if it's without faith, it's impossible to please God. That if I do have faith, I can please God. So here's the difference here is, do you have faith? Because if you have faith in the Word of God and you have faith in the Bible, then your scales can be what God wants to be and you can measure up to what God wants you to be. But here it is that so often we live a life that does not have faith. And as we live a life that does not have faith, what are we found? Found right here in what it says in verse number 27, and are found wanting. Wanting. Take your Bibles and go to Revelation, book of Revelation. Say, Pastor, I don't see where you find this in the Bible. Revelation chapter number 2, we have the story of seven different churches. And these seven different churches, Jesus Christ is the one walking amongst these churches, and he tells them that many times they are found lacking and they are found wanting in their church. And church, I think we can apply this to our own lives as Jesus is walking around in our own lives and as Jesus as Christians living in our hearts, he can see and he can examine us and he can see, according to the Word of God, there are some things that we are falling on, there's some things that we're failing on, And we need to climb ourselves up on the scale tonight and compare it to what the Word of God says and say, hey, there's something I'm wanting in, and there's some things I need to change. Look what it says in Revelation chapter number 2. I want you to look at verses 2 through 5. Verses 2 through 5, he's talking about the church of Ephesus here. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst bear them which are evil. Now this sounds like a great church. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake have labored and hast not fainted. Now listen to that. They've worked, they've had patience, they've labored, and they haven't fainted. But look what it says in verse number 4. He found an area in their life where they are lacking, where they are wanting. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And so what does he say in verse number 5? You know what? You got 90% of it right. Keep on at it. You're doing a great job. No, what does he say in verse number 5? He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works. So what he is saying here, he says, look, there's an area in your life that you're lacking in. There's something that you're wanting at. It's the love you have for me. It's the desire that you have for me. It's that first love and the reasons why you began doing everything. He says, now I want you to remember what you used to do. Remember the love you used to have for me, and repent of these selfish ways and change it. This church was put on the balances. And what happens? He says, there's something that you're lacking. Let's look here now in chapter 3 in verses 14 through 19. Revelation 3, verses 14 through 19. Now, two different churches is referring to. This is the Laodicean one. Obviously, they got a lot of things that they need to work on. And it says, unto, in chapter 3, verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Once again, look what it says in verse 15. I know thy works. You know what? God knows your works already. When you're comparing yourself to the Word of God, you don't have to try to fool anybody. You might be able to tell somebody else that you weigh something different than what you weigh, but you're not going to be able to fool God. He says, I know thy works. And you got it here again. He says, I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, which thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. And what this passage of Scripture is referring to is this church of Laodicea. And you know what? They feel in their hearts, if you look here in verse number 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that there are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You know what happens? They haven't climbed themselves up on the scales that God's standard is by. You know what they're saying? Hey, I'm rich. I have everything I need. I am in need of nothing. God has, I got everything. I'm spiritually there. I have my church, and everything else is all the way up here. But God says, because of the fact that you have deceived yourselves, you're wretched. And here's the thing is, when God looks at it, and they look at the scale there, guess what? They've come up wanting. They've come up lacking. Think about what the Bible says. If you measure yourself according to God's word, then you're going to get the right true picture. Now, once again, you can go around and you can measure yourself up against somebody else. And yes, you're going to sometimes look good. Sometimes you're going to be able to convince yourself, hey, I'm better off than that person. Or, hey, at least I go to church every week. Or, hey, if you compare yourself to somebody else, sometimes you're not going to go around looking for the best person. You're going to look around for somebody you feel better about yourself. The Bible says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. God's not going to give you some cheap imitation picture. It's a just balance. You serve a just God. He knows your works. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. And you got to stop fooling yourself and say, hey, there's something that I'm wanting in my life with. There's something I need to change. And we need to look at what the Bible says, and I need to work on it. I wrote down some things that I think we should try to balance out when it comes to our lives. Some different things really quick. First of all, how's your attitude? You know, you go and you look at the Word of God and what the Bible says about the cheerful countenance and what the Bible says about the things we should be thinking about, and the Bible says about our critical spirits and what the Bible says about trying to cause problems, and the Bible talks about respecting things and respecting others and our attitudes toward other words and our attitudes toward other races and our attitudes towards other people. How is your attitude? Because you know what? Some of us could go walk around and say, hey, I got a pretty good attitude, and in all reality, we're failing when it comes to the Word of God. We don't show love or demonstrate love to somebody else. We care less about what anybody else thinks or feels. We only care about ourselves. You know, that's not the right type of attitude we're supposed to have. And what I think some of us could do is we could crawl up on the scale of God and look up what the Bible says about what our attitude should be like and try to match up with what God wants. Think about husbands loving your wives. I think that if we read that and we see God's scale and God's standard that we should love our wives as Christ loved the church, you're like, how in the world am I supposed to do that? God wouldn't ask you to do something that he couldn't enable you to do. You can put forth your best effort to love your wife the way that God desires for you to love your wives. And I think some of us husbands need to really climb up on the scale and say, Pastor, you don't know what my wife's like. I think all I'm saying is just get on the Word of God and see what the Word of God says. Now, that's not just the passage. There is a role of being the head of the household. There is a role to, you know, being the leader of the family. There is a role in the way we should treat. But you know what? That needs to be put in there too. That can't be taken out of the equation. Take that out of the equation, the scale's not going to be right. You're not going to have a true picture. But in God's eyes, how do you love your wife? Wives, how about submitting to your husbands? You know, how are we doing on the scale there? Is there something in there that we need to get up and look at and say, hey, is there something I need to change, something I need to work at? Is that an area that I'm wanting at in my life? Oh, you don't know my husband. Well, God does. In God's scale, what does the Bible say about, you know, what does the Bible say about a wife? Get the concordance out and see where it says wife every time and the instructions it gives for a wife. And see what the Bible says and see how you measure up as a wife. How about children? I know we're here for the Master Clubs is no longer here. How about children? How well do you obey your parents? I mean, where does the scale match there? You know, what is obedience and what is honoring your parents? What are those type of attitudes that you have, young people? Is that something that you're doing? Is that something you need to take on scale? How about faithfulness? You know, is there something on that scale that we need to look at and say, okay, what does God say I need to be faithful at doing? Maybe making a list of those things and say, am I faithful here? And comparing it to the Word of God. You say, Pastor, why do I need to know that? I already know all that stuff. The Church of Laodicea, you know what? They knew all that stuff too. And they had convinced themselves that everything was good. Everything was okay. Everything was right. They were in need of nothing. They didn't need to change anything. But God looked at them and said that they were wretched. God has looked at them and says, they need to be zealous and they need to repent. They need to put some eye salve on. They need to change their ways. But they're saying, no, I don't need to do it. We need to get in the Bible and see what the comparison is. How am I doing when it comes to faithfulness? How do you use your time? Once again, redeeming the time because your days are evil. How do you use your time? Do you sit around and waste your time away with hobbies and other interests? And once again, I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying certain things. But how do you use your time? You know, redeem the time. I mean, we need to be careful with our time. And we should invest in our children. And we should invest in our husbands and wives. We should invest in our church family and church fellowships. But do we redeem the time we have to spend it with God? Do we redeem the time we have to do God's work? You know, how about when we talk about the scale when it comes to our Bible reading? You know, doesn't it say to meditate in it day and night? Doesn't it say we should memorize it? Doesn't it say that it's something that should be more better for us than necessary food? What is the Christian's responsibility? That's what I'm telling you. Get in the Bible and see what it says and see how you stack up and how you measure. Because I think a lot of us are going to be lightweights when it comes to that. I think a lot of us are going to say, you know what? That's an area that I need to add something to. How about praying? How about soul winning? How about being, as they talked about this past Sunday afternoon, about being content? How are we doing in those areas? Are those some things that are off kilter according to what God says? you know, say, Pastor, I am content. I'm not really looking. I don't need anything. I drive a car that's 30 years old and doesn't even bother me. Or I do this and doesn't even bother me. You know, no, contentment's more than just material things. How about where you're at in your life? How about where you're at in, physically and where you're at in other things? What about giving and finances? You know, what does God say about that? Are we out of kilter there? What about in areas of service? Or what? How are we doing there? You know, are we really serving the Lord? Now, once again, you can be off kilter there a little bit, sometimes good and sometimes bad. You know, you need to be careful. What does God expect and want from you? How are you measuring up? What about when it comes to fearing the Lord? What type of respect do you have towards God? Can you fly up in his face and say something about him or think something about him? Watch somebody else take his name in vain, not even bother you? Do you really respect and fear the Lord? Not the idea that he could take you away just like that, but because you love him so much, you don't want to do anything to disappoint him. You live in such of awe of him. All those different things. And you could probably write down 100 more. Where are you at in the scale? Tonight, it's kind of like the idea of grading yourself, looking at things. But I want you to make sure you have the right standard. The false balance is an abomination to God. You can convince yourself that you're okay because you compare yourself to other things or to your basic Bible knowledge of what you've heard before or what one of your friends has reasoned out or what some TV preacher said or what some other person said on the radio that you probably didn't even need to listen to anyway. And I'm not even saying take my word for it. I'm telling you, get into the Word of God and see what the Word of God says, and that's what you compare it to. That's what the stack is. That's what the other balance is. Like back then, there was something that was the standard, and then you bring your commodity. How is your commodity standing up to the standard? Not the standard 2000s or the 1900s or the 1800s, the standard of the Word of God. Last but not least, I want you also not only to consider your life and compare it to the Word of God, but I want you to contemplate the judgment to come. Contemplate the judgment to come. You can't read these passages of Scripture without thinking in there, man, he paid a great price. He failed in his balances, and God said, that's it. You're gone. I'm taking your kingdom away from you. He had warning after warning. You look in verse number 22, and he says, in Daniel chapter number 5, it says, and thou, this son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He knew everything that happened with Nebuchadnezzar. He knew everything that happened to Nebuchadnezzar, but he refused to humble himself. There's three things there that I think that caused him to fall, and that reason why is, number one is because of the fact he went against the light, and he went against the knowledge that God had given him. Secondly, he blasphemes God by drinking out of those things that were precious and they were set apart for God. And fourth, he begins to go against idols. You know what? You see here, and you read this, and see what it says in verse number 28. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third in the kingdom. Look what it says in verse number 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. You know what? The judgment came. Judgment was quick. It was done. It was over. It was sudden. And it was certain. He was gone. Just like that. You know what? That's not always the case. You know, God gave him many years inside that kingdom. God gave him that witness through Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather. He chose to blaspheme God. He chose to worship the gods of silver and gold. He chose, and God saw the scale there. He says, it's done, it's over, and he was gone that night. And I'm not saying that any of you are going to be gone tonight, but the Bible does say, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Someday you will have to stand before God and be judged for what you've done. Someday you will have to stand before God, and there's two different types of judgments. There's the white throne judgment where God will judge sinners and the fact that they've fallen short of the glory of God and they've never been saved, never accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and their punishment will be eternity in a horrible place called hell. You don't have to go there. God sent his son down to the cross to die for you. And if you're here tonight and you've never been saved, that's the balance you need to get settled first. But secondly, there'll also be a judgment seat of Christ. where you will be judged according after you've been saved, according what you did for him, with your motives, and also with your time, and with your opportunities. Now, they're not going to be based off the scales of how you wanted to do it, or your human reasoning, or how everyone else thought you were the greatest thing in the world. You're God's gift to God. No. They're going to be based off the standard and judged out of what the Bible says. So tonight, I want you to think about this. Someday you'll stand before God. But I want to encourage you to judge yourselves tonight. See where you're lacking. See where you're wanting. And make the changes. So that way, someday when you stand before God, the thought will be, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Instead of being ashamed that it's coming. Christian, I think when we get to heaven, we're going to say, I didn't do enough. God gave his only son for us, and he gave his whole life for us. He came in the form of a servant, and he died for us. He came obedient even unto the death of the cross. And what we need to do is get ourselves to the point where we say, I want to live for him. I do. I want to live with him all my heart, all my life, and I don't want to be off kilter to God's plan. We need to climb up in that scale tonight with the Bible on one side, our lives on the other, and see if there's something that is wanting. Belshazzar's life was a sad story. Great opportunity, great privilege, great potential. And he wasted it. And because of that, the judgment came sudden and it was certain. If you're here tonight and you're saved, you have great opportunity, great privilege, and great potential. Don't waste those days away. How do you not waste them? Is by comparing yourself to the Word of God. The Bible talks about as you look into the perfect law of liberty, that you can change little by little, become more like Jesus Christ. And you can grow to understand and be the standard that God wants you to be. Don't throw your life away. How would you measure up? Take these areas in your life, take them home and say, okay, God, I want to be on right. I want to be right with you. I want to measure up. I want the scales to be straight across. What is it you want me to do? And put these things in your lives, in your heart, these areas. To be honest with you, I don't think I need to keep on giving you more and more things you should compare, because you probably know where you struggle at. You probably know the things that you need to work on. You probably already know those things. Just don't deceive yourself anymore. Don't be looking for the weight, the scale that's going to tell you you're 10 pounds lighter than you are. See what you are and make the changes necessary to become what God wants you to be. Remember, this is a just scale. He knows your work. He knows them already. Let's go ahead and look to the Lord in word of prayer.